What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast, episode number 48 of the Health, Fitness, and Performance series. Today, we take a look at how to train harder and hard enough to build real muscle tissue. Because a lot of us listening to this podcast might be having a hard time building muscle. It really stems from not training hard enough. Maybe you are training, you're working out, you're putting the work in, you're doing all the things necessary or a lot of the things necessary, yet you're not seeing the results that you want or expect. For one, patience is a big thing that we don't get into, but we should be reminded of. But secondly, training hard enough to build muscle is an absolute necessity. It's a requirement to build muscle. So are you training hard enough? I don't know, but we're going to go over a few of those principles in this episode for you to have a better understanding of how to push your body and challenge your body to the point where it actually builds a significant amount of lean muscle tissue. Like always, please be sure to subscribe to the podcast, share the podcast to your friends, family, and networking community. And of course, on top of that, keep listening to episode after episode so you enhance your fitness, performance, and overall wellness knowledge. Enjoy today's episode. All right, so are you training hard enough to actually build muscle? Wow, very good question and topic to cover today, because I think this is probably one of the more common hurdles that people run into in regards to them plateauing or never even reaching the point of building a sufficient amount of muscle tissue, not only to where they're satisfied, but just in general, just to that kind of body recomp. And how I kind of view it is, do people start looking at you and saying, wow, you're looking a lot better, you're looking a lot stronger, you're looking a lot fuller, you're more shapely. Like, that's muscle, right? And that might look like your body weight staying the same, but your body fat percentage going down because you've added more lean muscle tissue, right? And a lot of people just don't get there. They don't really look like they train, unless they really do look like they train, right? What I mean by that is the average person, healthy person that I'm going off of here, they look like they are kind of in shape and that they exercise. Like they take care of themselves, right? They eat relatively well. They walk, maybe they do a little bit of resistance training or circuit training, or they swim, or they do something of that nature where it looks like this person's active, but it doesn't really look like they have a sculpted, strong, defined physique. And for a lot of people, that's an attractive quality when they get into working out. They want to actually shape their body. And to me, it's always unbelievable when I see like a 3 to 5 year to 10 year transformation to see that someone can literally sculpt and, you know, they shape their body. They are a piece of clay and they've taken themselves from, let's say, super skinny or super out of shape, and they've turned themselves into this, you know, rock solid, curvy person. You're like, my God, like, it's crazy that you actually have the ability to do that, for one. So let that sink in, that you have the ability, just by you showing up daily into a gym, into some sort of environment, stressing your muscles, you know, taxing your nervous system, and working hard, that you can literally change how your body looks, feels, performs, moves. It's incredible. It's an amazing, amazing thing. And a lot of people aren't taking advantage of that. So the question that we're going to look at today, and this doesn't have to be a very long episode, right? I'm looking forward to kind of diving into this one, giving you guys some, you know, hard points for you to chew on and, you know, ask these questions for yourself. And if you're not doing it, start training harder, because looking better, looking stronger, and getting a return on your investment in regards to your physique, let alone all the health markers and biomarkers that you're going to benefit from resistance training properly, it's a no-brainer that we start training this way, right? So how do we train hard? For a lot of people, it starts off by not even knowing what hard really feels like or looks like. They haven't worked out long enough or properly for a consistent period of time to understand what really challenging feels like. And it's obviously going to be relative, so I can't throw out random weights, because what I can lift for 10 reps is going to be way different than the, you know, typical viewer or listener can lift for 10 reps on a bench press or a squat or something of that nature, right? But it's going to really benefit you to understand what weight feels heavy for given rep ranges, for given exercises. So regardless of what program you're following, and that's the part of this, right? Like, it's really hard to train hard enough to build muscle if you're doing it in a circuit fashion or a group class fashion, because they don't create an environment that's very conducive to that, right? It's more about sweating and working hard and getting your heart rate up than it is to really build muscle and change your physique for the better that way, right? You can change your physique by losing body fat and losing weight and becoming healthier and having, you know, a little bit more muscle put on, but to actually put on 10 to 20 pounds of lean muscle tissue, you got to train a certain way, right? Which typically looks like more specific, you know, traditional strength training and bodybuilding and hypertrophy training, right? Which is, I guess you could say that as bodybuilding training, right? So learning to understand what a really hard 10 reps feels like, or what a really hard 5-rep set feels like, or a 3-rep set, or even a 15-rep set, giving your body a chance to work its way up there. Now, I had a conversation on a call. It's a group call the other day for my strength squad, or no, it was my SFR training community. And we were talking about the idea of how to ramp up your 3 sets. So let's just say we're doing 3 sets by 8 to 10 reps. That's the given rep range for each set. It's somewhere between 8 to 10 reps. And sometimes it's nice to have that buffer. So if someone gets 10, they go, okay, well, I was on the high end of the rep range. Maybe I can even increase 5 pounds because I'll probably still be around the 8, 9, or maybe I'll surprise myself and be in the 10 rep range again, right? So that's why I like giving the buffer. So when you're doing that, I like to ramp it up, especially if you're trying to understand what hard feels like. You know, at my advanced stage, I know what a challenging 10 reps feels like. I don't really need to play around too much with it. But if you're kind of new to this game and you haven't, you know, put on a lot of muscle tissue, you know, over my time, I've probably put on 30 to 40 pounds of lean muscle tissue, right, over my career, which is pretty substantial as a natural athlete. So for someone who's maybe never put on 5 pounds of it, you know, they really don't know what that feels like. So use those 3 sets to slowly ramp up, right? So maybe on set 1, you pick a weight, you do it for 10 reps, and you go, okay, that was relatively challenging, but, you know, I wasn't really pushing too hard. And then maybe the next set, you add 5 or 10 pounds. Same thing, gauge how, you know, intense the set was, how challenging it was, you know, the rate of perceived exertion, the RPE of the set. Maybe out of 10, it was like an 8. And then your next set, your final set, that third set, you go a little bit heavier. And guess what? If you fall short at 8 or 9 reps, you go, wow, okay, so that means my 10 rep max was the weight previously, because on this set I only got 8 or 9. So now you kind of know what a really tough, challenging 10 feels like. And that's good. So you want to work your way up so that third and final set, you're almost fighting for the last rep. You know, you want to really... Now, when I say fighting, I don't want mechanical breakdown. I don't want you to, you know, be jerking the weight up or using a whole bunch of English in terms of body English, that is, in terms of like swinging the weight back up or jerking your hips up on a bench press, or squatting with really poor mechanics and your heels are being lifted and toes are being lifted and your foot's kicking out to support you and stabilize you. Like, none of that. Like, I want there to be mechanical proficiency behind it, but I want to almost get to muscular failure. Now, obviously, it's much easier to find out how challenging a set is and how close you can get to failure when you're doing more like isolation movements, like a lateral raise or a hamstring curl or a leg extension or a bicep curl or tricep extensions, because, or even lat pull downs, let's just say, more isolation oriented, because there you're in a structured environment, you know, you're not worried about stability. You know, you're probably supported, whether you're seated or your back is supported, or you're attached to a cable or something of that nature. So you can push the boundary of fatigue without a large consequence. So I'd rather you kind of play around with that and start understanding, hey, what does a really challenging rep range feel like for these given exercises? And work towards making that last set basically hitting failure. And I know there's research that kind of shows, you know, training to failure too often can be detrimental. There's not as many benefits to training to failure as there is leaving a couple reps in the tank. But here's the problem. Most people don't just leave a couple of reps in the tank, meaning that they have one or two reps left over that they could have done, which is still a pretty challenging set. Most people have a large misconception of what challenging feels like. So they finish a set and they really had another 5 to 10 reps in the tank. So they never even got to the quote unquote effective reps to actually stimulate muscle growth. And that's what they're called, is effective reps. It's anything between around the 4 rep range and below, in terms of like if you had more than 4 reps in the tank after you finish your set, i.e. you could have done 4 or more reps once you finished your set, you haven't got to the reps that were significant enough to actually promote a large enough muscle building signal. So what you want to do there is increase the weight. So we're somewhere between the 1 or the 0 to 4 range, where you had 0, meaning you actually hit muscular failure, or 4 reps in the tank. You want to be somewhere in that range to really promote growth, right? And that's where you're going to slowly start getting a better understanding of yourself and the weight that you should be pushing, is when you start seeing what that third or fourth set looks like, that final set looks like on a given exercise, marking it down, you know, tracking your numbers. So that way next week when you go back to that exercise, and yes, when you follow a traditional strength plan and muscle building plan, you're going to be doing a lot of the same exercises for phases of training. So you can do exactly that. Increase weight. Increase the stress and stimuli to your muscle fibers to thus create physiological adaptation, right? To get your muscles to become bigger and stronger and contract faster. That's what, you know, bigger muscle fibers do. They contract faster. So we want to definitely engage in sets that give us better understanding of what challenging feels like. And the next week, starting with a weight that's almost as close to that last set, if not the last set weight, right? Why waste your time, right? You're going to have enough rest time between these challenging sets to, you know, restore your ATP to a significant amount so you can do another very challenging set, right? And then maybe your last set, you hit legit muscular failure. That's how I like to train. And that's why I like to train my clients, is let's get them to that last set, because I know if we go every set to muscular failure, that might really drain the system, right? It might really kind of beat the body up, and it might do a little bit more harm than good. That doesn't mean there's not going to be a lot of good that gets achieved, because obviously they're really challenging their body, and typically we're doing 3 days a week full body, so they got a ton of time to rest in between sessions, sometimes 48 hours, and at one point, 72 hours of recovery. So they got plenty of time, especially if they're recovering intelligently. So that's not a big concern for me, right? And at that point, I can really monitor form and technique, so they're not cheating and getting shitty reps in. So that's going to be a big part, right? Going off that, the 2 in the tank, right? Just to kind of clarify, for most of your sets leading up to your final set, you're going to want anywhere between 2 to 3 reps in the tank, right? That's a really good kind of layout for most people to think, well, I'm going to do my set here, and when I finish it, I maybe had 2 reps that I could have done. And those would have been 2 really challenging reps, not reps where you're like the weight was moving really smoothly for all 10 reps, and then all of a sudden I just stopped and been, oh, yeah, I probably could have got 2 more. It's like, no, if we have 2 reps in the tank, what that looks like is that the last rep you do on that set, it's tough. Like, it's hard. You're actually going to have to exert some real connection, and you'll contract your muscles really hard and have really good technique to perform the rep. And then after that, you go, you know what? I could have got 2, but man, that was still really challenging. And that's why we work up to that, you know, final set where we get no reps in the tank. So you have a much better gauge of how to put 2 reps in the tank, right? Because if you finished your last set at, let's say, 100 pounds for lat pull downs, and you had no reps in the tank, you went to muscular failure, well, chances are 2 reps in the tank is like 90 pounds or 85 pounds, right? It's not going to be 70 pounds or 50 pounds. Like, you know, at that point, you're only 10 pounds off. That makes sense that you probably had 1 or 2 reps left in the tank with 10 pounds less of your 10 rep max, right? And that goes for your 5 rep max. So if you do end up doing a program where you do 3 sets by 5 reps, that goes for your 2 rep max. If you do 5 sets by 2 reps, if you're doing 15 reps, same thing, right? Try to challenge that final set specifically, right? Now, are we challenging our body? Are we progressing the stimuli, right? Are we doing the same thing all the time with the same weight? I hope not. Going off that, we want to be able to increase the reps, increase the sets, increase the weight over time, the total volume we're working with, because that's the only way that we're going to be able to train hard enough to actually promote muscle growth. If we don't train in this manner, if we keep the reps the same, if we keep the sets the same, if we keep the weight the same, our body has no choice but to get really good at it, and we're just not going to get the signal to grow bigger and stronger. Why would it? There's no need at that point, right? We're not giving it any reason to add muscle mass, right? We're not giving it a signal that, hey, we need to lift heavier stuff, i.e. we need to become stronger and we need more cross-sectional muscle mass to actually lift that weight. When you force your body to do that, then all of a sudden it says, hey, we need to compensate now. We need to build more muscle for this individual because now 3 days a week, they're trying to lift shit that we're not, you know, really all that prepared for. And it's a way new stimulus. So let's get ready to roll. Let's get connecting. Let's get the nervous system engaged. And let's put on some muscle and let's get stronger. And that's why it's so important to phase your workouts, right? Staying in blocks of training for a little while, right? Super simple. You got 12 months in a year. 3 months at a time, you stay in a specific block, right? 1 month is more based around muscle building. Another block, 3 months is based around strength training. Maybe there's some correctional and foundational in there. Maybe there's a performance phase. I'm basically giving you guys a layout of what my SFR training program and training system looks like, right? So they all complement each other. And don't get me wrong, performance still builds muscle. Muscle still increases and enhances performance potential. Strength 100% complements performance and builds muscle, right? Foundational in terms of you getting your stability, balance, connection, core locked in is going to contribute to all those things as well, all those different phases and blocks of training. So it's so important that we give our body something new, a different stimulus, a different challenge, so we have the opportunity to send a different muscle building signal than we were just in. Right? And the same goes for if we're always changing things up, every single session looks different, every single week looks different. Well, we never have the opportunity to go back to what we were talking about initially, which is to make that same exercise a little bit more challenging next week and become a little bit more proficient at our connection and mechanics of what we're trying to do. Next, looking at figuring out percentages and RPEs, right? Rate of perceived exertion. Think of it as a table out of 10 or 15 or 20 for that matter, right? Typically out of 10, RPE out of 10. When you finish a set, and if you had 2 reps in the tank, that will give you an RPE of 8, right? 8 out of 10 because I had 2 reps in the tank. Super simple math, right? If you finish a set, maybe your first set, you're really just warming things up, priming the system, and you're like, you know what, I probably could have done another 5 or 7 reps. Okay, you had an RPE of 3 to 5 out of 10, right? So you want to understand your RPEs a little bit better. So when we do ask you to go to an RPE of 10, for example, or that your last set is a 10, that we're going to failure. Same thing if we're doing conditioning and we're doing sprint intervals, right? If I have an RPE of 10, I want you to go max effort. And it's good to understand the difference of what a 9 feels like, what a 10 feels like, what a 5 feels like. So that way you can manipulate your training appropriately so you don't overtrain, but you also don't undertrain. Very, very important. And if you do train hard enough to the stance that you're going to build a lot of muscle tissue, your appetite is going to increase. So if you're not feeling like your appetite is increasing, that you don't have the desire to consume more protein, to consume more calories, get more glycogen replenishing carbohydrates in your diet, more cellular enhancing fats in your body, chances are you're not training all that hard. You might be training to sweat. Your sessions might be quote unquote challenging or hard, but in a different sense. They're hard from an aerobic standpoint, right? Me sweating a lot and having a really jacked up heart rate and moving a lot because I have very short rest periods, that's still challenging and hard, but it's not muscularly challenging and hard. It is aerobically. It's not anaerobically challenging and hard, right? It's not like your muscles are feeling like burned, right? Or in terms of like, now, it doesn't mean you can't do 30 or say 100 air squats and not have your legs on fire, but I'm talking about like a genuine like pump to the muscle where you're like, holy shit, that last rep was a bitch to get up and my arms are full of blood. They look pumped up. I look jacked. I look swole. My ass looks pumped. It happens all the time when girls train glutes specifically. They do some heavy back squats. They do some hip thrusts. Then they go do some walking lunges. And then maybe they do some isolation glute work. And all of a sudden they're like, man, my ass looks like 2 inches bigger. Yeah, because you've pumped so much blood into the muscle. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about anaerobically challenging the body. Where if you went for a run for an hour, you're not going to have that same pump, but you're still going to feel challenged, especially if you had a challenging pace, but you're going to be challenged aerobically through the oxidative system, not through the glycolytic or the phosgene system, okay, which is more anaerobic. So going off that, yes, you're gonna have to eat more to build muscle, but going off that, when you train hard, you'll notice that your appetite's increasing. So if you're still having a really hard time consuming 2,000 calories, which is not a lot of calories, I'd say that's on the small end of calories. It's not going to help a lot of people build muscle, right, for the most part. You know, if anything, you know, for me to build muscle, I need 3,500 to 4,000 calories, and I'm 177 pounds. My girlfriend Mel, she's 120 pounds now, and she craves, you know, at least 2,500 calories. If she's at 2,000, she feels a little bit depleted, right, because she trains really hard, and she trains in a muscle-building way. She does a lot of strength training, heavy compound movements. So if you're always doing these isolation movements that are, you know, aren't very taxing to the nervous system, or you're training in more of an aerobic fashion where you're having these short rest periods and high volume work, yada, yada, yeah, you're probably not going to have a massive appetite because you're not sending the signal to your body that, hey, we need the fuel to build muscle. Like, we're trying to build muscle and we need calories to do that. So when you do train to build muscle, your body's literally shouting at you to be like, hey man, or hey girl, we need calories, we need protein to recover and repair and build this muscle. We need carbohydrates to repair and restore our glycogen. We need calories, get it in us. So you'll notice when you train hard enough and you train harder than you are right now to build muscle, your appetite will increase and it'll be a lot easier to get in the necessary nutrients your body needs and craves to actually build. So they go hand in hand because most people, I tell them to, you know, we're going to train this way. They're not challenging themselves enough. They're not training hard enough because I'm not always with them. And they're like, you know, it's really hard to get in, you know, 120 grams of protein. It's like, well, it shouldn't be, right? Because if you're training hard enough and you're being diligent with your diet and you understand how to structure your day, you're going to be craving those calories. And eventually you're going to get to the point where we're going to have to almost take calories away from you, healthy calories, to see necessary fat loss at that point, right? Because, you know, you're going to feel like, man, I'm super satiated, but I need the calories because I'm building and my body's literally asking for more. So it's a good thing. And if you're feeding your body with nourishment and healthy calories, like I said, lean proteins, lean cuts of protein, you know, healthy carbohydrates, good sources post-workout throughout the day, healthy fats, lots of water, you're going to really kind of reap the benefits of not only building more muscle efficiently, but recovering faster as well. So that's a big indication, right? If your appetite's not going up, you're probably not training anaerobically hard enough to build muscle. You should notice an appetite increase when you're training hard. When I get home, I am ready to go. I am ready to down some food, down some calories, get a lot of protein and carbs in me, and I feast, but I feast in a very intelligent manner, knowing what my desired outcome is. So there you go. And the last one here, this one actually can be very beneficial if you have a good training partner. That's why trainers can be good at times for this thing specifically, is to train to failure once in a while with a partner. Like, get to actually feel what really hard feels like. Feel what a really hard 3-rep set looks like. There's probably people listening to this call, or this podcast, sorry, that have never trained in 3-rep range, never trained in the 5-rep range. They don't know what 5 challenging reps feels like. They don't know what lifting a bar off the bench press or off the squat rack and doing only 2 to 3 reps really feels like. They don't understand the activation and the engagement and the central nervous system activation that takes place, and just having to lock in and brace, and every muscle fiber has to contract to lift this weight effectively. Very few people know how to do this unless they're avid trainees, right, or exercisers. So for a lot of people, that's where I would suggest, maybe not those movements initially, but learning how to actually train to a complete state of failure for, you know, a dumbbell row or a dumbbell incline press with a spotter there, or doing a more advanced compound movements, but having a really good spotter watch you and actually take you through that negative portion where you're like, I literally can't push this off my chest or lift this up, but you're helping assist me do this. There is some real merit to that. It's going to feel different. It's going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel like you're out of water, right? Or a fish out of water, because you never trained this way and it feels like you actually failed. But learning how to accept and train to this point of failure will give you a much greater understanding of what true connection and muscular failure feels like, compared to, oh, this is starting to burn my muscles, or oh, this is starting to become a little bit more challenging. I'm just going to rack the weight because all of a sudden I'm having to exert more energy and I'm having to recruit more muscle fibers. I'm having to contract harder. Well, yeah, that's what is required when you're trying to build muscle. You need to contract your muscles very hard. You need to recruit more fast twitch muscle fibers. You need to challenge your system and challenge your muscles and your body and challenge your near maximum strength for these sets. So that definitely has some merit. If you have the opportunity to get to a point, don't train like this always, but having the opportunity to train to genuine failure on a couple different exercises can give you a much greater perspective and appreciation for what true challenging reps feels like. So there you go. That is how you can train harder and hard enough to build genuine muscle and see a massive body recomposition in terms of much more lean muscle tissue and much less body fat percentage overall. And with that, you're going to be able to eat more food, look better, feel better, obviously more food, more energy, fantastic, you know, revamp your hormonal profile, improve your biomarkers because you are supplying your body with the nourishment and nutrients it needs, wants, and craves, and thrives on. So many damn benefits to it, guys. But yeah, hope this episode helped. Hit me up if you got any questions about this specifically. And like I said, if you're not training this way, I highly suggest it, because you're probably wasting your time if you're not, especially if your goal is to build muscle. All right, we will see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast.